Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe here we are, June 10th and June 11th, depending on when you listen to this. If it's Saturday, June 10th, that's at 9 o'clock, and it's Sunday, June 11th, is at 7 o'clock, and time is flying by in 2017. Upcoming, we have the 10K Capital Era Race Classic as part of the Capital Era Race Series, and then we have the two races in July, one of which is the Bill Lutie Road Race, which is one of the longest-running races in New Hampshire. But the longest-running New Hampshire road races is the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. And in honor of that, and it's coming up in a week, is the general manager of the Auto Road, Howie Weems. Howie, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy at this time of year and also making the drive down from the Notch. So is that okay today?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hi, Tom. It's happy to be back again with you to talk about this wonderful race.
Perfect. Let's take a step back and tell us just a little bit about how the Auto Road manages everything, not just this race and in your role and kind of anything exciting happening new that the public should need to know about the Auto Road.
Sure. Well, just briefly, this is my 30th year as general manager up at the Auto Road, and there have been a lot of changes in that 30 years. We were a pretty sleepy organization. We were carrying on with the long historic tradition of rides to the top of the mountain and having people drive their own cars up to the top of the mountain that started in 1861. And back at the beginning of my era there, we had the road race, and somebody else came in and put it on, and we were involved in a minor way, but really it was the Bob Teschek show. He was the one directing the race and timing the race and making it happen. And so in all those ensuing years, of course, we continue with the road race, but we've brought on so many other fabulous events to the Auto Road to partly to attract attention to ourselves, partly to appeal to different niches of people that might be interested in the mountain, and partly in a significant way for the community good. So it's been fabulous. And of course, the relationship with you folks at Northeast Delta Dental has been wonderful over the years. And as you'll probably get into a little bit more, the way we now benefit the Coos County Family Health Services is really, I mean, it's heartwarming from my perspective, and I know they really appreciate the donations that we make annually now that help with their adult oral hygiene programs up in the Berlin area.
And that's awesome. And since 2012, the race has donated more than $80,000 to that dental program. And, of course, we got involved with this. You mentioned Bob Teschek. A long time ago, 15 years or so ago, he called me up at the 11th hour, and he said the primary sponsor of the road race had, for whatever reason, just backed out, and would we be interested? And as you know, how I really was starting to get into the road racing scene, I didn't realize in New Hampshire how it was going to flourish. So I said, you know what, let's give that a shot. Let's give the Bill Lutie Road Race a shot. And then once I got there and I saw the magnificent tradition of it and so forth, it just made a lot of sense. And with the partnership with the organization, definitely it's allowed me to get the oral health message out there, because even though in a lot of metrics, New Hampshire is right out in the top of the country in terms of oral health, there are definitely some underserved areas, including, you know, nearby Berlin. So thank you for that partnership. It's worked out, you know, really well. A few weeks ago, we got some snow up there. Is it all melted?
Well, we had snow just 24 hours or so ago. We never made it to the summit on Saturday due to ice and snow up there. So yes and no. It depends on what day it is. I don't think we've seen the last of it. We'll hope for a reasonable race day a week from now, and I hope we don't get any of that icing stuff around race day, but it wouldn't be completely unheard of.
And I think Howie makes a good point here, because obviously, you know, safety first. I mean, it was just a short 2 years ago, we were standing there the day before, and we'll get into the logistics of how, you know, runners pick up the bibs and so forth, but we were there on the side of the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain on a Friday, and Howie said to me, you know what, it may actually not happen tomorrow, and then it turned out to be one of the most wonderful, glorious days of the year. But tell us about the year, and I remember this vividly, where it snowed and we had to cut the race at halfway. How you make those decisions, and then was very interesting because the very next year I think it was one of the hottest races of all time. So you just never know what you're going to find in mid June at the Mount Washington run.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think there has been only one instance in all the running of the race where we were not able to make it to the summit, and it was that year, and I hesitate to guess, but maybe 2007. I personally was quite happy with that decision because my wife and I had just run a trail marathon the weekend before, and I was not recovered, and I was happy that I didn't have to run all the way to the top of the mountain that day. But it was, you know, it's safety based. You know, when the top of the mountain is getting freezing weather, even if it's not dangerous for driving up there, we've got a lot of volunteers who are going to be outside all day, and you can't put them out in weather that they're going to get hypothermic in. It's just not, you know, runners may be able to handle it and they're up for it, but you got to think about the rest of the logistics of running the event, and so we always do, and safety of everybody is always paramount for the events we do.
It's quite a production, and Howie, we're starting to sound like our grandparents, but it was actually 2002, and Simon did a 28.02 with a big asterisk next to his name, and Anna got a 32.32. So it was 2002.
Oh, good for you for having that on the tip of your tongue.
There we go. So the all-time record for the time for a man is it Jonathan Wyatt, 56.41. And I know our winner for the last couple of years, Joe Gray. I think he is heck bent on getting to that record. And of course, Joe is pretty well renowned, and we get to see him at other races. The Loon Race. He also did the worldwide snowshoe race and won that as well. So he's pretty terrific. So he has some sort of gift on this, because as we were talking offline, one of the things we've done for the last couple of years is we're filming the race, and it's from above, and we then show that film later on, and it also allows us to get the oral health message out. But when they show the runners, even the other elite runners, men and women, you can definitely tell they're struggling going up the mountain. But with Joe, if you saw that video of him, it looks like he's doing a fast 5K. So what's his secret?
Easy.
Can I get some?
Yeah, I wish I had some of what he has, and maybe his age. But he floats up the mountain. It's amazing. And guys like that really stand out. It was like Jonathan Wyatt when we watched him warming up the day before the race when he set that record. He's just floating over the ground effortlessly. It's really wonderful to watch.
So are there any particular favorites this year? I know we have the local triathlete, worldwide triathlete Amber Ferreira will be at the race, but in terms of favorites besides Joe?
Yeah, I've got a personal favorite that I was very happy to see was entered this year, Tristan Williams, formerly of Jackson. He lives a little bit further south. I think he lives in Tamworth now. He's been a hot runner in the neighborhood for a long time. I didn't realize that he had a kind of an ultra-running background. Apparently he does, but he's very fast, and he is entered, I think, again this year. I don't think this will be his first time, but I think maybe he's been a little more serious about training. So it'll be really fun to see how he can do, you know, against the likes of Joe and others.
And Nacho will be here, by the way, Hernandez. So I got he contacted me at the 11th hour, and we used one of our slots to get him in and got him a room. So I think his goal is to keep Joe in sight.
That's terrific. Well, I don't know if you've seen the news, but Joe just won the and I'm probably going to get the whole title of it wrong, but it's the Cranmore Hill Climb that was just contested, and it was the qualifier for the U.S. I believe it's World Mountain Running Team, And he just won that. And
yeah, that Creammore race
another
is
another amazing performance.
You go up and down twice, so he's definitely has a gift. How about on the women's side?
Well, Brandi Erholtz is going to be the strong favorite, and part of that is due to the fact that Kim Dobson is not able to return this year. She's taken a year off, apparently going to have a baby. Brandy's been around, another very, very strong Colorado runner. They do seem to either have the right genes or have the right training at altitude out there, because Colorado has shown us some very fast runners over the years.
It does seem that way. It must be the altitude. So, and speaking of statistics, so the course length is 7.6 miles. And to give people sort of an order of magnitude, you think, oh, it's only 7.6 miles. But your times, at least for us average runners, is basically the equivalent of your half marathon time. And so that's what I kind of gauge myself on. So if a half marathon is 13.1 miles, and you do a 2-hour half marathon, you know, you can figure on, you know, getting up to Northeast Delta down on Mount Washington in about 2 hours. I think I don't think I'll be able to do that this year, but I think anybody that can get under 2 hours, I always tip my hat to. I do. And my best time was like 1 hour and 50. The grade average is 12%, extended to 18%. The final 100 yards is you are literally climbing at that point. I know that last 100 yards, Howie, like I literally have my
hands
on my knees doing that. When I first started doing it, there was more packed gravel. I think now it's probably about 80% paved, right?
Yeah, we got 1 mile of gravel left. It's actually 87% paved now.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody knows it's only one hill. It's 6,288 feet. And the weather, well, we'll see. So please stay tuned with Howie Weems and more from the Mount Washington Road Race. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental, and with me is Howie Weems, who's the general manager of the Auto Road. And Howie's here because next week I get to spend a lot of time with him on Father's Day weekend. We're both dads, but this is actually for the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. And one of the great new traditions we've established is that there's a pretty rigorous process for naming Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Hall of Famers. So, for example, and we won't tell you who this year's winner is, but that will be announced with all the other race winners. One of my personal favorites, Howie, is Jackie Gareau. I don't know if she's driving down from Montreal this year, but I've gotten to know her over the years. And, of course, one of the things is I realize why she's such a great runner, because she seems to be like 4'10", 90 pounds. But she's so funny. We hit it off immediately, just as a quick story, and that was because the year that Rosie Ruiz cheated in the Boston Marathon was the year actually Jackie won. And of course, it was found out like a week or 2 weeks later, so she never really got her just, you know, recognition. She did get her crown and all that, but it was like way after the fact. And so I introduced myself to her, and I said, you know, like, she was really impressed that I remembered the Rosie Ruiz story. And hopefully I'm not boring the listening audience, but believe it or not, as recently as the 70s, you know, now, of course, there's video cams and this could never happen, but Rosie Ruiz hopped onto the subway and went about 5 miles or so or something on the subway, got out, and then continued to run, and she crosses the finish line. And I don't think she intended to be number one, but she sort of overestimated her trolley ride, I guess, and she ended up being quote unquote the winner. And I remember Bill Rogers telling the story, which was because I think Bill won that year or was certainly in the top, and said she just didn't look like, you know, an elite runner. You know, you know, elite runners are all gaunt, they're tiny people. So in any event, and of course she was discovered later. But anyway, Jackie Gareau won that year. Then later, she actually you know, won the Mount Washington Road Race, and so she is really the only woman that's ever won both the Boston Marathon and the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. But I say this because it culturally, Howie, you know, you could have 5,000 runners. Obviously, you're limited to 1,200. Just maybe you can explain to the listening audience why you have to limit it, and it's really to get the runners back down.
Sure. Well, first of all, I have to mention that I was unaware that that was the year that Jackie won. That's a fascinating story, and just a little bit more detail to an already fascinating story. So we have always limited the race due to parking constraints on the summit. And so for the longest time, we thought that 1,000 runners was the most that we could possibly handle up on the top of the mountain from a parking perspective. But then a few years ago, one of us had the bright idea that if, you know, we never let anybody drive back down the mountain until the race is over. So it doesn't really matter how fast you're going to get to the top. You're going to stand around and wait longer if you're up there earlier, because we're not going to let you go down until basically the entire field has finished. So when we realized that nobody's leaving till everybody leaves, why don't we park them what we call ferry style up there? And so when we started filling those parking lots, I mean, absolutely filling those parking lots, then we were able to open up the race to, you know, several hundred more people. Now, we've touched over 1,300 a year or so ago when we realized, you know what, that's too many. And so we've backed down and we stick with 1,300 now. And that takes into consideration the fact that about 10% of the people who register for whatever reason are not going to show up on race day. So we factor that in, and we try to give as many people as possible a shot at running this amazing race, because we're still getting in excess of 2,000 people going through the process of trying to get an invitation to come to the race. So it's amazing to me how many people want to do this race, and it's amazing, as you well know, when you're on the way up the mountain, you're thinking to yourself, never again, why am I doing this? And within 5 minutes of crossing the finish line, you're thinking about how you can improve for the next year.
That's so true, Howie. You get that feeling. Okay, this is I've felt this every year, the 8 or so years I've done it, but you get to the halfway point and you say, well, this is bad, but it's not too bad. And the thing about the Mount Washington Road Race versus other hill climbs that I've done is that this is just one total steady hill. I mean, there's no downhill at all. I mean, when you start the race, there's a slight downhill, and then from that point on, it's, you know, approximately 7.5 miles straight up. There's no give to it. So the mental anguish. So anyway, you get to the halfway point. There's like maybe 1 yard of flat. And you're thinking, and you grab water, hey, this isn't so bad. From that point on, I make the same mistake every year. It is horrible. And there's one particular, and I say horrible in a good way, because you know about it, but there's one particular turn, Howie, it's like a hairpin turn where you can literally look up and you can see women and men like above you. Like, I mean, it's amazing.
I was challenged once on the idea that it was all uphill and that there was no downhill at all. And somebody who should know better and well known to the race insisted that there was a place on the mountain just after halfway in an area we call Signal Corps where there was a slight dip and a downhill for several strides. And he was insistent on it. And I knew exactly the spot he was talking about. So I went up there and I videoed myself holding a golf ball, putting it down when it should have been rolling uphill in his mind because it was uphill. And of course, it rolls downhill. It's just that it's so steep until you get to that point and then it's less steep, but it's always uphill.
Yeah, that's definitely a mirage. You feel good. Well, it's less steep, but it's definitely still going up. One other thing, the customer service and the safety is great. So when Howie says that, you know, they slightly overbook because they know 10% of the people, there won't be an airline story attached to this. If everybody shows up, you're perfectly accommodated. The other thing, it really is a great combination of culturally sort of the quaint old school type running, but with sort of the new, you know, the new trappings. The one new thing last year, for the first time, at least since I've been doing it, there was actually a chip attached to mm-hmm. to the bibs.
We did break out of the norm, and we actually had a start mat last year, but the times are still based on gun time. But in order for people to be happy about their personal times, no matter where they started, and people were wildly inaccurate about how long it took them from the time the gun went off to the time they actually crossed the start line. You know, thinking it was 3 to 5 minutes, some people were saying. And I was saying, there's no way.
There's
only 1,000 of you. It's not going to take that long. And we kind of proved it last year with the start mat. But it's just another way of knowing exactly how many people are starting and how many people are finishing.
Another thing that we introduced a couple years ago, and we've done it now 2 years, is Ambrose Solomini. And you can see his work on some in New York and other sports stations. But we actually have a drone that films, and he goes up with his motorcycle, and I wish he wouldn't do this, Howie, but every year as I'm running, this is like mile one, and I'm feeling okay, so I can still talk at that point, but he insists on interviewing me while I'm running, so every year I go, see you at the, I'm hoping he's getting the cue, which is I'm saying, I'll see you at the top, but he keeps asking me questions.
The first time he came and he produced that film, and we're watching the film, and he's right next to you, and he's trying to interview. And I was thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Come on, Tom, tell him to move along.
So the good thing about that film, though, is we love to sponsor Road Race. And now, of course, with the Oral Health Connection, as Howie mentioned, the Coos County Family Health Services, you know, it makes a lot of sense to continue. But it's great for some of my participating dentists and board members to see, you know, what a difference you can make while you know, you're having fun. And we actually do have one of our participating dentists, Howie, in Vermont, Dr. Susie West. I know she, from time to time, has been a finalist in the Hall of Fame balloting. So I always love when she runs the race because I'm able then to feature her in our dentist newsletter. But she's a pretty terrific athlete.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer to whether she's registered this year. I'm sorry, I don't know that.
But if she makes it at the end, I always get a picture of it. But some people, she's one of those, we were talking about it earlier, she's one of those people that has just kind of that knack to kind of just fly up there. And getting back to Jackie Gareau, so here's another funny story, and this is what not to do when you're a racer. So 1 year before the race, you have to get there fairly early because as great a job as Howie's team does, is a certain amount of this one road coming from both sides to get into the auto road. So it just takes a while. So runners who are making it to the race next Saturday, the 17th, you know, just get there early. There's no problem. No one ever misses the race, but just, you know, you want to get there early. So Jackie and I had a fair amount of time, and she said, "You got to try this. This is the way I do it." So she shows me how she runs on her toes, you know, scampering up. Okay, so I didn't train that way. So I said, well, this is Jackie Gareau, the only woman that's ever won Boston and Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington. She must know what she's talking about. So, of course, that's how I race. But I didn't train that way. So a mile into the race, like, my calves were like golf, literally like golf balls. I had no idea what I was going to do at that point. So I ended up, speed walking the rest of the way. And, of course, that's a relevant term. But the one other advice I give to first timers is keep your head down, don't look up, because if you're looking up, it can be daunting. And in my personal trainer, Tom Walton, who's a much better runner than I am, every year I pass him because, like, at mile 5 or 6, because he kind of implodes, because at some point most normal people, except for people like Joe, at some point you have to walk the race, you know, walk right. a little bit, and that right. does a psychological number on him. But in any event, it's all about fun. As we've mentioned earlier, $80,000 has already been donated to the dental programs. And finally, in the few seconds we have left, is 97-year-old George. Is he going to be running this year with his? And this is really cool to say. But
well,
he's
the whole family's coming this year. It's wonderful.
And he's got a son that's like 71 that runs. So could you imagine?
And a His grandson and great grandson.
It's great. It's great. The funniest thing he said when I know we have to wrap it up, but when he at the awards ceremony he says, you know, I'm going to plan to run it till I'm 100, and then as I cross the finish line, I'm going to drop dead. So in any event, that's his words. So, Howie, thanks for being a great partner. Everybody, that's Saturday, June 17th. You'll be reading about it in the Concord Monitor and other media. Tom Raffio, thank you, Howie.
Thanks, Tom
Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.